While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger.
Tonight, angels far and near sing tender lullabies. Well-worn fabric full of years holds in the warmth of parental love. Animals and shepherds crowd in tight, glowing with adoration, while a muffled cry squeezes out to greet the world. We light the Christ candle for the child king, the infant redeemer, the lowly Lord. And now we know he is born and nothing will ever be the same.
Celebration, the time of getting together and a time of seeing a lot of faces we haven't seen in a while. Kids of family members and others that are here. It's great to see all of you. Wonderful to have you with us. It's wonderful to be here this evening. I'm going to give you a little instructions just a moment about the candle lighting part, because we Presbyterians do things decently and in order, and especially when it has to do with open flames. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to say thank you for being here. We're excited about having you with us. I want to give you a few ideas about what's going on over the rest of this week. Our worship service tomorrow is going to be at 10:30. It's a single service. It is it's bouncing around now and coming around. It's not coming around. Okay. Anyway, it's at 10:30. It's going to be in the chapel. It is a requirement that you come wearing your favorite Christmas sweater. And it can be your favorite or the most obnoxious you have. You're also welcome to come in PJs and all the other sorts of accoutrements that come on Christmas morning. It's going to be in the chapel. It'll be a great time of just cocoa, cookies, and a great time of celebration. So we encourage you, 10:30 tomorrow morning, all the single service we will have tomorrow. Also, the office will be closed on Monday and Tuesday. So just note that. You're welcome to come by. We won't be here. But that's great. Also, New Year's Day, we will have a single worship service, also at 10:30, but it will be downstairs in our worship center. It will be more of a contemporary worship style of service, and so we want to encourage you about that. Also, tonight, if you are a member of Salem First Presbyterian Church, you've heard about this. If not, you would like to participate. There are offering envelopes in the pews. This is the night we take our Christmas joy offering. This is a national offering that we take to support our racial ethnic colleges and students and the Presbyterian Church USA, as well as missionaries and church workers who have retired from service and find themselves in challenging times economically. Our denomination is there for them to support, encourage them in challenging times financially. So the offering 100% goes to that, and we encourage you to contribute. We'll be giving you a bit more information about that as we go to the offering time later in the service. But we just want you to know that it is here in front of you in the pew rack, and we'd love to have you participate if you would care to do so. Now, instructions. Karen, help me. One of the things that we like to talk about is when we do the candle lighting is we want you to take the light of the candle, not give the light of the candle. That's very important. The way you take the light is the lighted candle stays upright. And the person who doesn't have the lighted candle, who wants to take the light, they then reach over and take the light and go upright, and the person next to them. Now, if you do it the other way, where I have the lighted candle and I want to help Karen, it's just messy. So be careful. It's hot wax, and it's an open flame, and it's late at night. So candle upright, the lighted candle upright. The unlighted candle takes the light from that as we pass it along. You'll get more of that information as we go on, so we thank you for that.
Thank you. first lesson, Christ's birth foretold, comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulder, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth,
to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Thank you.
describes the birth of Jesus. It's taken from the second chapter of the book of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. Our fourth lesson, also from the book of Luke, this time the second chapter, describing for us the shepherds and the angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among them whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving and holy God, your love blesses us and unites us in this place and time tonight. We come before you on this holy night with grateful hearts, grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who dwells among us, full of grace and truth. And in the birth of Jesus, you have given our weary and struggling world reason to rejoice. In the cry of an infant, you have given hope to all who cry. By the light of a star, you have helped us find our way again. And we thank you. We thank you that in Jesus the Christ, you have made yourself known and have beckoned us to join you as bearers of your reconciling love. May we be co-creators with you of a world where wolf and lamb shall dwell together and justice will roll down like waters. On this night, O God, we ask that our hearts be devoted to shaping that world and for you to bless especially those for whom such a world seems only a distant dream. The poor, the imprisoned, the ill, the lonely, the homeless, the despised. And we pray for families and friends, for those who are with us and those who are far away, for those who are traveling, for those who have lost a loved one and are filled with grief this Christmas, and for those who especially need your guidance in this season. God, open our hearts to the news of angels and the wonder of shepherds, that this Christmas may renew us for the days to come. To each one of us, O God, we pray that we might see afresh the love and wonder that is born into the world this night and at each and every moment. May each of us welcome your Son with an open heart and a receptive spirit. For you send your gifts not with ribbons and fancy wrapping, but with simplicity and humility. We give thanks for all of your gifts of life, as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We see them everywhere this time of the year. A loving mother, a somewhat bewildered father surrounded by awestruck shepherds, regal wise men, and an assortment of barnyard animals, all focused on the holy glow emitting from the manger in the center of the scene. And the manger is the Christ child, the infant king. The majestic focal point of the scene, and more often than you might think, a kidnapped victim. That's right. Over the past several years, the baby Jesus has been stolen from nativity scenes throughout our country. Don't believe me? Just Google stolen baby Jesus, and you'll encounter story after story of disappointed churches and city groups longing for the return of their infant king. Now, most of these stolen baby Jesus stories are pranks, not really thefts. And as you might imagine, often these pranks are linked to an excessive amount of alcohol consumption. There's a story of five sorority sisters arrested after stealing the baby Jesus from the Monmouth, Illinois town square nativity scene, and then dumping him on the Monmouth College president's lawn. Or there's the story of the Fredericksburg, Virginia woman who actually stole an 80-pound statue of the baby Jesus and then bragged about it on her Facebook page, complete with pictures. And she was just dumbstruck that one of her friends turned her in. Well, due to the growth of this baby Jesus kidnapping industry, along comes the consummate tech solution, Brick House Securities, which will install free charge GPS trackers to put in all the baby Jesuses used in the outdoor nativity scenes across the country. This means that a church or a civic group can use their computer or their smartphone to track their baby Jesus, either in the manger or wherever he might go prior to that holy night. St. Ambrose Church of Old Bridge, New Jersey installed the GPS Jesus device a few years ago after several thefts that they experienced. There's been no attempt of theft since we announced that we are tracking our baby Jesus, so declared Alan Szczynski of St. Ambrose Church. People are now well aware of our GPS Jesus, and so they simply leave him alone. That's what it's come to. We simply leave Jesus alone in the manger. One of the problems of preaching on Christmas Eve is that everyone knows the story. Mary and Joseph, no room at the inn, a baby born in a stable, shepherds, angels. We all know it so well, and yet we still gather to recall the story and to find once again the baby Jesus in the manger. I guess there's just something calming and peaceful about Jesus in the manger, something lovely about the infant king surrounded by those who recognize the majestic when they see it. And yet, if we read further in the biblical narrative, we discover that not everyone was as excited and pleased about the birth of the baby Jesus. It seems, in fact, that the narcissistic Herod, the local king of the region, also recognized that something significant had happened in Bethlehem, something that would alter his life and his world as well. And we know this because of his late night tweets. Too soon? The current stolen baby Jesus trend and Luke's narrative, I think, poses a major theological question for us this night. Is it worse to steal Jesus or to simply leave him alone in the manger? I mean, was Jesus' birth meant to be a freeze-frame shot for eternity? You know, baby Jesus meek and mild away in the manger? Or in fact, did Herod have a more accurate notion of just what this infant was? What his birth meant, and how this child would challenge the status quo forever. You see, the great dichotomy of the Christmas story is that Jesus was both vulnerable and dangerous on that first night. Lying in the manger was a vulnerable infant and an eternal king, a child in need of protection and care and a savior that would bring healing and reconciliation to our world. This means that the Jesus whose birth we celebrate this night, was in fact not destined to remain in the manger. He was destined to engage the real world with the real message of God's love and grace and reconciliation and hope. He was destined not to occupy college presidents' lawns, but rather to confront the world with the radical notion of grace, love, and justice. Well, if the baby Jesus is not destined to stay in the manger, then what do you think? Maybe it's not such a bad idea to put a GPS tracking device on him so that we might better know how to follow him. The birth narrative suggests that Herod, the religious leaders of the day, as well as the Roman rulers, realized that they were boxing well above their weight class when they confronted this infant king, whose life of grace and compassion would undermine their beloved status quo, their positions of power and authority, comfort and security. But the irony of Jesus' power is that it's found not in the military might or economic policies or in power politics, but rather it's discovered in God's clandestine grace and love. In other words, if Jesus had a GPS then or now, we would find him not in the seats of power and control, but rather in the core of the human heart, inviting those he touches to become agents of reconciliation and restoration, to become co-creators of God's reign of shalom. He would not be hanging out in the manger, rather he would be hanging out with the people on the margins, the sick, the poor, the outcast, the imprisoned, and the alien and stranger, caring for those who have been overlooked for ages and who have been devalued consistently in the first world. Nor would Jesus, I think, take up residence in a set of doctrinal beliefs or religious traditions that we easily articulate, but seldom embody fully. Rather, I believe he would give himself to the mission of healing and wholeness for all of God's children. You see, when you think about it, GPS Jesus does help us better understand the purpose and meaning of this night. It helps us better to embrace the invitation to view the purpose of our lives not through some cultural or political or economic lens, but rather by our willingness to be in proximity to the Jesus we encounter away from the manger. So if the baby Jesus doesn't need to be protected, guarded, or defended, then why do we gather to hear this ancient story once again? There may be many answers, but I think one of the key ones is that it helps us to remember that the experience of love and hope and joy and peace we long for comes to us only as we follow Jesus on his mission of reconciliation. Of course, just as the incarnation of God's love that first night proved to be dangerous to the world that loves things and uses people, so our journey of reconciliation will not always be embraced by the surrounding culture. Think about it. In a world where might makes right, Jesus invites us to place our security in God's sovereign grace. In a world where the next great moment in human history, so the media tells us, is when the Dow Jones tops 20,000, you and I are called to follow the one who was born in a borrowed stable and who was laid to his final rest in a borrowed tomb. In a culture where we are nurtured to look out for number one, we are invited to follow a Savior who embodied the life of servanthood. So friends, I think it's clear the meaning and message of this special night is not that we need to guard or protect or defend the baby Jesus. Rather, the eternal and transformative meaning of this night is that we are called to follow this Jesus into a world of need and loneliness and fear, a world that desperately longs to discover the pathway to life. St. Martin's UCC Church in Detmer, Missouri, found a creative way of dealing with their stolen baby Jesus problem Instead of nailing the baby Jesus to the manger, just let that one stick with you for a minute, or chaining him securely to the manger, let that one hang with you for a second. The church decided to do something very different. They opted to try to emulate God's gift of the season. Pastor Scott Lowes declared, "We wanted to find a way to put a display on the lawn that symbolized the season, but also symbolized the fact that Christmas is really about giving." So the church's nativity scene didn't have a baby Jesus in the manger. Instead, what they did is they filled the manger with hundreds of Christmas ornaments depicting the baby Jesus, and then placed a sign clearly in the manger that said, "Free, take one." And Pastor Wells' words, he said, "Christ is a gift. He doesn't belong to us, so you really can't steal it from us either." Friends, tonight we celebrate the birth of an infant king, the inbreaking of God's love into a fearful world. It's the night we pause and reflect on the scene, gleaning its meaning and its purpose. It is the night when we are invited to follow Jesus away from the manger, invited to become co-creators of God's reign of hope, love, joy, and peace. Oh, it is a holy night. Let us celebrate it. Let us pray. Oh God, we love the story. It's rich, it's purposeful, and it just reminds us of the preciousness of life. And yet we also realize that we're invited by you to not just stay at the manger, but to follow you away from it into the very world you long to heal and to make whole. Lord, so this night, as we celebrate all that it means, might we also seek to follow you where you lead, seek to serve you as you serve the broken, the homeless, the heartbroken, the empty, the lost. Lord, help us to find you, and to link arms with you there, to be your agents of this clandestine grace and love that came into the world this night so long ago. This time you're invited to continue your worship by the presentation of the special offering to assist church workers and in times of difficulty, as well as to support your scholarships, our racial ethnic students, as well as the program funds the racial ethnic schools and colleges in the Presbyterian Church USA. We invite you to partake and to be a part of this as we say thank you and celebrate God's grace. At this time, let's continue our worship with the presentation of the Christmas Joy Offering.
Thank you. of every good and perfect gift. We thank you for your greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ. And in this season when so many gifts are given and received, we pray that you will receive the gifts we offer now. Use them according to your purposes and plans, bringing your good news of great joy to all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Fifth lesson, the mystery of incarnation, is drawn from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which lightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The next piece will be sung in Latin, O Magnum Mysterium, which translates to, O great mystery and wondrous sacrament, that animals should see the newborn Lord lying in their manger. Blessed is the virgin whose womb was worthy to bear the Lord Jesus Christ.
blessing, I want to give you a bit of instruction on how we're going to do the candlelight. In just a moment, the house lights are going to go down. Pastor Karen and I will take the light from the Christ candle, and we will stand down here in the middle of the front of the church here. The choir will come down and take their light from us. They will go to the side aisles. Once they're stationed at the side aisles, then they will invite you to take the light from their candles, and we'll start lighting the candles from the outside to the end. At a moment in a time when Karen and I deem it is the proper time, we will begin to dismiss you from the center aisle. We ask you to exit out through the narthex there and into Fellowship Hall. You're welcome to keep your candle if you'd like to. If you would care not to do that, then we have receptacles for them. You can blow them out when you get into Fellowship Hall and drop them there and take them with you to eat. This is a time of closing the service, but also moving us into the night as God's agents of love and grace. And so we encourage you to enter into this time with an attitude of worship, and I invite you to stand to receive the blessing. Please stand. Go now into this night. Go now into this night following the light of Christ. Going with him into the darkness of this world to bring light and hope, joy and peace. To bring healing to the broken, reconciliation to those in need of coming together, of being God's people again. Go forth into this night following that Jesus who leads us away from the manger into the world God loves.